Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Ask Kathleen. It is Sunday night, February 26th. It's almost March, folks. It's almost March. Where is the time going? Oh my gosh. The first quarter is over. Did you lose weight yet? Did you finish the book yet? Did you clean up your finances yet? Did you meet that great guy yet? Did you meet that great lady yet? Did you, whatever it was that you planned to do for 2012, did you do it yet? Did you buy your house? Did you fix up your house? Did you clean up your whatever? Whatever it was that you, did you clean up your office? Did you clean up your room? Did you clean up whatever it is that you're talking about for 2012? We don't have time to waste. There's no time to waste. Oh, my gosh. It's February 26th. It's almost the end of Black History Month. And actually, we didn't do a whole lot around Black History Month here on Ask Kathleen. But you know what? That's really just a figure of speech, so to speak, because we do a whole lot about around Black History Month every month. But listen to this. Are you all aware? One of the famous actors just said that Black History Month was ridiculous, right? That there should be no Black History Month because we should be celebrating Black history or integrating Black history into everyday living, at least here in the United States. So why have a Black History Month? Well, fact is, we haven't done it yet. How many years has it been going on and we have not integrated Black history yet into the inner work, into the inner fold of what's going on here in the United States? It certainly is not integrated into curriculums in the majority of the public schools, in at least in the city of New York. Maybe it's different in Atlanta or Chicago or Detroit or maybe some of the other, you know, Chocolate City, D.C. or something like that. Maybe it's a lot different there. But certainly here in the Great Big Apple, we have not integrated the history of Black Americans, African Americans, Latinos, and Native Americans, really integrated it into our history books, textbooks, and curriculums in, you know, in public school systems, private school systems. So my guess is that one of the only times that you're really going to get some powerful information and history about Black people in this country is going to be in February. That's when all the projects happen. That's when all of the activities happen at a lot of major, even major like restoration center in Brooklyn. Some of the major theaters and all over the city, whether they are African American owned or operated or have a focus on African heritage and so forth, even those entities have an event for Black History Month. So it's a conversation maybe that we can get into another time, but I don't feel like talking about that tonight. I think it's a no-brainer. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Ask Kathleen. It's Sunday evening, February 26th at 7 o'clock p.m., and I'm Kathleen Williams, your host, and I want to welcome in my co-host, my sister, my good friend and my sister, Ronnie B. Ronnie, you on the line?
I'm here. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
I have my New York accent.
You have your New York
My New York. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. And it was a beautiful day here in New York. It was bright. The sun was shining, just like glistening, but it's cold.
Yeah.
And it was freezing yesterday, last evening. It was snowing in places and breezing. Yeah, I saw snow. I saw wind. And today was sparkling, beautiful, but it's a little cold, but it's lovely. What a wonderful day. And I'm actually here now just watching the red carpet go by.
The red carpet?
Oscar night.
Oh, yes, that's right. Oh, my gosh. Oh, who's going to win an Oscar tonight?
Okay, so Viola Davis is not. I thought Viola Davis had a chance, and I could be wrong. I still could be wrong, but I don't know. I just had that feeling that she's going to win, but it's always that Meryl Streep factor, you know? And so it's either going to be her or Octavia Spencer. And I just think it's going to be Octavia Spencer. I don't know. I just got this feeling. I hope I'm wrong, though. I hope I'm wrong.
You think it's going to be the supporting actress?
Yeah, I do. Has it been 10 years since Halle Berry became the best actress?
Girl, that newspaper is in the basement. Halle Berry. Okay, hold on. Let me Google it while you're talking. Go ahead, talk while I look it up.
Okay, because first, I believe it was Hattie McDaniels, then it was Halle Berry, so it has to be at least 30 years.
Okay, she
that
won
was,
the Oscar.
You know, that was ignorant. You should close my mic on that comment.
She won the
After
Oscar.
After you made that beautiful, you know, homage to Black History Month, and then I said something like that. That was ridiculous. But anyway.
You didn't even acknowledge it. I'm just keeping going. She won the Oscar in 2002.
Okay, 12.
So
okay.
It has been exactly. Yep.
Okay, then there's a good chance.
Yeah, it's been 10
that's
years. Good. So, hey, you know, maybe we'll see something.
Okay,
we're
putting our prayer in for Viola.
You think it's going to be a decade in between each one? How many we've got? Okay, so wait. Denzel won an Oscar. Jamie Foxx won an Oscar. Morgan Freeman, yes?
Yes.
Samuel Jackson?
Not that I can recall. I know Whoopi Goldberg has an Oscar. I know Jennifer Hudson had an Oscar. Jennifer Hudson has an Oscar. Whoopi Goldberg has an Oscar. Halle Berry has an Oscar. Denzel Washington has an Oscar. Jamie Foxx has an Oscar. Cuba Gooding Jr. has an Oscar.
Oh, Cuba Gooding Jr., right. Oh, okay, I got the list. 1958, Sidney Poitier won an Oscar for The Defiant Ones. And 1963, Sidney Poitier won for Lilies of the Field. He was the first black actor to get an Oscar.
Where's your applause? I love it. That's awesome.
Wait, hold up. Where's the applause? Wait. Ah! Thank you very much. Okay. So then it was James Earl Jones for The Great White Hope in 1970. Yes, Paul. Oh wait, because I can't read this and applause at the same time because I'm out of the studio. So I'll
do it all at one time.
Okay, Paul Winfield for Sounder. Remember Sounder?
Wow.
In 1972, so that was 2 years.
That's huge.
And then we have a. Wait, what did he win? He won Best Actor. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. My bad. Hold on. Hold on. Sorry. Sidney Poitier won in 1963 for Lilies of the Field, the role Homer Smith. He won. He was nominated in 1958.
Thank you.
Went. Okay.
Yes, that
so
was
now,
shocked. That's why I said it earlier. Somebody won an Oscar in 58?
Yeah, no. So all these others were nominations.
Nominations.
So scratch the ones that I said. After Sidney Poitier, we did not have a winner until 19... No, excuse me. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. We didn't have a winner between 1963 and 2002.
Hello. So I was ignorant, but I was right.
After Sidney Poitier,
it was
Washington for Training Day in 2002.
Come, are you? Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I can't even talk. My mouth is hanging open. I can't. What?
Hello.
Okay. So,
hello.
So after 2002, now Will Smith was nominated for Ali in 2002.
Yes, he got nothing.
So watch. So Jamie Foxx won in 2004 for Ray Charles. And what did he receive? What did he win? Was it Best Actor?
Yes.
First actor to win for a musical, first black actor to receive two acting nominations in the same year. First black
and
actor
he won.
To win for a musical. Okay, and he won. Now, the next winner, Terrence Howard was nominated in 2005 for Hustle and Flow. Don Cheadle was nominated for Hotel Rwanda in 2004. So the next winner we had, do you know who the next winner was?
Jennifer Hudson.
Nope. Forrest Whitaker.
Oh, that's right. He did get Best Actor. Sorry, Forrest.
Yep,
oh, my God.
He won the last Queen of Scotland.
Idi Amin.
Idi Amin, baby. Idi Amin. Yep. And then, okay, so after that, okay, but you're right. After Denzel, the next black actor was indeed Halle Berry for Monsters Ball in 2001, but she was the woman, right? So she is, according to this list, but is this right? Is she the first black woman to win an Oscar?
No. Best actress. Since I believe Dorothy Dandridge got
nominated for Carmen, she did not win.
Okay, then she's the first black actress to get Best Actress. Because Hattie Daniels, like I said, had won an Oscar for Scarlett O'Hara in 40 something, but she didn't get Best Actress.
You know your Oscars, baby. Okay, so listen. So that was Best Actor. The only Best Actors we have, African-American, Sidney Poitier in 63, Denzel Washington in 2002, Jamie Foxx in 2004, and Forrest Whitaker in 2006. Those are our only four Best Actors. So the black female best actress in a leading role, Halle Berry. She's the only one.
The one and only.
One and only. So, okay. Now, so who's nominated for 2011 is Viola Davis for The Help. That's it. She's
and
the only black
and,
nominated for best actress in 2011.
Right,
okay.
But the other actress is nominated for best
Supporting role. Yes,
right.
Hattie McDaniel, Gone with the Wind in 1940, she won.
Right.
So she's the first black person, male or female, to win an Academy
Award. Hold a statue in her hand.
Yes. The first one to hold an Oscar ever. In 1991, Whoopi Goldberg won Best Actress in a Supporting Role for Ghost. But if you ask me, that was not the supporting role. She was the leading role in that movie. Because what's her name died? You going to tell me she was the supporting actress to a ghost?
Well, because it was Swayze was the act.
He was the ghost.
No, you're right. You're right.
Patrick Swayze was the ghost,
and
Demi
Moore,
right?
Was. So, but Demi Moore was the leading actress. I don't know.
But
at least she got an Oscar.
Yeah, okay, well, anyway, so she got the Oscar, 1991. And then, so between 1940...
We gotta go there? You know what I love about you, though? If I start it, boy, you will get on the bandwagon.
Between 1940 and 1991. Okay, now do I need to count that on my fingers?
Girl, count it.
1940 and 1991. We didn't have not one, all them daggone movies. Are you trying to tell me that we didn't have not one best actor, best actress in a supporting role in 51 years?
Half a century.
And we only had how many nominated? There was only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 nominated.
Then we have three that have the statue.
Yeah, Hattie McDaniel, Whoopi Goldberg for Ghost, and Jennifer Hudson, and Monique.
Ah, that's right. And Monique should have got a Best Actress.
Monique won Best Supporting Actress for Precious. And what's her name win? That young lady? She didn't win?
No.
She was nominated.
Yeah, she didn't win.
Was she nominated?
Gabourey Sidibe. She did not win.
She wasn't even nominated. I don't see her on here.
No, it was Monique. But let me tell you, Monique deserved people Oscars. She should have collected some.
Yeah.
There's several people that should go back and get some other people's Oscars. I'm going to tell you who right now. I think it was 2000. This is 12. So 2010. The Black Swan.
The
girl that won for the Black Swan, right now her name is evading me. She got Best Actress for the Black Swan, and if she could get Best Actress for that role, then Viola Davis better walk away with that statue tonight, only because it's been 10 years at least. Give us.
One.
I believe that she should be able. But see, I did not see Meryl Streep, so therefore, I'm just going on emotions. I did not see Meryl Streep, and you know she's hard to beat.
Yeah, she's hard to beat. But okay, so you know who else I think should really have won. Best Supporting Actress. This is the year that I turned the Oscars off, and I don't think I've turned it back on since then. When Ruby Dee lost for American Gangster in 2000.
That was just brutal.
Somebody needed to go smack Mr. Oscar upside the head that year.
That was brutal.
She was 83 years old, the oldest black actress to be nominated for an Academy Award, age 83, and she played that role.
She deserved it.
They give it to that year.
I don't even remember. I was too disgusted. And I actually thought that Denzel deserved the Oscar again for Frank Lucas.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Yes, he did.
He really did. Now, Viola Davis was nominated in 2008 for Doubt. And I didn't even see that.
No, we have the Image Awards. Is that where we get film notoriety?
Now you're over my pay grade.
I'm over mine too. I just thought I'd ask. I'm just asking. I don't know where we, you know, honor ourselves in film.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, let me tell you, we've never won anything for best cinematography. So Spike Lee has never, he hasn't won an Oscar, right? We have never won anything.
No, we have best documentary tonight, a gentleman coming in. So there's some things, you know, I have my eye on some things. That's what, and you know, being a lover of filmmaking, I must, even though I complain all the time, but I must be involved. And I just love the fact that they brought Billy's Crystal back, even though I really, really wanted to see Eddie Murphy. Really, 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 really. Everybody wanted to see Eddie Murphy. He was picked to host. He was the first choice. And he quit because they fired his director. So the person that was going to write all his jokes and, you know, his producer, director, and his team, they fired that person. So he's like, oh, no, you're not setting me up to fail. I'm out of here.
Right. So who is it, Billy Crystal?
Right, who I adore. You got to love Billy Crystal.
Okay. So, wow. Okay,
and I didn't mean to derail the whole conversation with the Oscars. So if you have a guest or something like that, I had to bring this up. I just had to. And she looked fantastic.
Who?
Viola? Oh, yeah.
Where? On the cover of the magazine?
Yeah, on the red carpet tonight.
Oh, right. You're looking at it. Oh, man, I'm missing it. Okay, so let me go back to the list of the Oscar winners. So, okay, we have no best director, so John Singleton has never won.
No.
We have
I don't even know if he's ever been nominated that I could recall.
He was nominated
Spike
for
Lee,
Boys
Nothing.
He was in 1991.
He was nominated?
He was nominated for Boys in the Hood in 91. Now, you know.
How did Spike Lee not get nominated for Malcolm X or Demolition of Bruce Dress?
Terrible. And Lee Daniels was nominated for Precious in 2009 and didn't win. Best costume design. So if Dreamgirls didn't get it for best costume design, I don't know what to say. And Harlem Nights, that was nominated in 1989. They didn't win. Malcolm X was nominated in 1992. She didn't win. Ruth Carter. And Ruth Carter, the lady who did Malcolm X, also did Amistad. Now, you know she should have won for Amistad. I don't get it. And then Sharon Davis was nominated for Ray and Dreamgirls, and she didn't get either of those. Okay, so Best Director, John Singleton was nominated in 91. Then Lee Daniels for Precious was nominated in 2009. Best Documentary.
That's the gap?
That's the what?
That's the gap?
Yes. That's the gap, 1991 to 2009, and we have no more. That's it. And best
documentary. And Madea never got a nomination.
Who?
Tyler Perry never got a nomination.
Not to date.
Does this not fall into?
Nope, Tyler Perry's not in there yet.
This falls into the category of educating ourselves on our film work because we definitely support the films. When they roll those numbers on weekends, I know for a fact it's only white people going to the theaters and black people never spend a dime on any movie.
What are you talking about? Tyler Perry's just number 3 right now.
Right, but I'm saying we go to support all the other films, too.
Yes,
when they get
true.
Huge numbers, don't think that we didn't support those films.
Yes. I think I misunderstood what you were saying. Yes, we do. We support both. We do, indeed. We do, indeed. So, now, did you know Queen Latifah was nominated in 2002 for Chicago?
Chicago, yes. I thought she won.
No, she didn't win. No. Oprah was also nominated for The Color Purple.
Color Purple, yeah. We'll never forget that in our lives.
And Margaret Avery was nominated for Shug Avery for The Color Purple, too. And, you know, of course, neither of them won. And like, these are like classic movies and that nobody won. But anyway, let's see. Jennifer Hudson, of course, won for Effie White and Dreamgirls. Taraji P. Henson was nominated for The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
She should have won.
She didn't win that. Then,
and Brad Pitt won that one as well.
Yes, he did. He sure did.
He didn't win.
He did not win. I thought he did. I'm sorry, my bad. Okay, so we have, let's roll down to Best Documentary Feature. The movies that were nominated, the first one, 1990, for Adam Clayton Powell. The second
one,
Flea, was nominated for Four Little Girls. And 2004, Carolyn Ali was nominated for Tupac Resurrection. Nobody won. Best Documentary Short Subject, Music by Prudence. Won in 2009, Roger Ross Williams, and I did not see that. I don't know what that one was about.
Yeah.
Best Editing, nothing won. Midnight Cowboy was nominated for Best Editing. This gentleman's name is Hugh Robertson, but he didn't win. He was the first black person to be nominated for editing. Then Best Original Score. Do you know who that was?
Yeah. Isaac Hayes.
He was nominated, Shaft was nominated, but did not win. Do you believe that?
No, neither do they.
They should go back and give it to him now. So Quincy Jones did In Cold Blood, and he was nominated, but didn't win. So Isaac Hayes did not win for Shaft in 1971. Quincy Jones did not win for The Wiz in 1978.
That's a shame.
Prince won for Purple Rain in 1984.
Woo-hoo!
Okay, wait, yeah, you're right, my bad, hold on. And, wait a minute, now, okay, so that was Best Original Score. Right, so Shaft did not win the Best Original Score. So Prince won the Best Original Score for Purple Rain, and then Herbie Hancock won the Best Original Score for Round Midnight.
Wow.
And, yeah, in 1986.
Wasn't that Miles Davis? Round Midnight?
Round Midnight? Herbie Hancock? Round Midnight. No, that is Dexter Gordon, isn't it?
Oh, okay. I lost.
So, the next one, the best original song was Shaft in 1971. He won. Lionel
okay.
Richie was nominated in, and then with the next nomination we had was 1981. So 10 years later, Lionel Richie was nominated for Endless Love. He did not win. And then the next nomination was in 1983, Best Original Song, Irene Cara, Flashdance, What a Feeling.
Right. What a Feeling.
She won, yeah. And then the next year, Stevie Wonder won for the movie was The Woman in Red, I Just Called to Say I Love You.
Yeah.
That is the only song that Stevie Wonder won for Best Original Song. Was that the only one he did? I don't know. Okay, so the next one that won was Lionel Richie for White Nights, Say You, Say Me.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. That was
He won that, didn't he?
Yeah, he won that Say You Save Me. That's Gregory Hines, right? White Knights.
Right.
And they were in, yeah. Okay.
Ballet.
Right. So they, Miss Seeley's Blues from The Color Purple was nominated, but it didn't win. That's Quincy Jones, Lionel Richie, and Rod Temperton. Boy, Quincy Jones is a working man. What?
A working man. He does a lot of work.
And Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis and Janet Jackson were nominated for, again, for the movie Poetic Justice. They didn't win, though.
Well, I'm not mad about that.
Okay, so now, here's the one everybody was pissed off about.
And Janet Jackson?
Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, Janet Jackson. Movie was Poetic Justice. The song was Again. It was nominated. They did not win in 1993. Now, Here's one. Let me go back. 1988. Lamont Dozier. Remember Lamont Dozier?
From Dozier and Holland.
Yes. Yes.
Hopefully nobody knows how old they are, because then they'll know how old I are.
How old you are. I didn't remember them. I just figured you did.
That was good. I'll take the hit. I'll take the L on that one. Because there's no way you could have possibly remembered that. Honestly. No way.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so here we go. Here's a really big controversy one. Juicy J, Frasier Boy, and T.J. Paul for Hustle and Flow is hard out here for, and they won.
They won!
First rap
hard
group
out
to
here.
Win an Academy Award.
Hard out here for a pimp. I cried for a year. No, I did. I cried for a year.
Everybody did. They're still trying to take it back, and it's, what, 7 years later. They're still trying to get, did you really mean for them to win that song? Now, Syeda Garrett was nominated.
Oh, Man in the Mirror.
Syeda Garrett?
Yeah.
She wrote that song, Love You I Do, in Dreamgirls. It was nominated, but she didn't win.
Okay.
Man
in the Mirror?
Huh?
She wrote Man in the Mirror as well.
Oh, I didn't even remember that. And she wrote Rio for Real in Rio, the song, and that's pending for this year. So she's nominated again. And she would share it with Sergio Perez. Wow. Garrett is now the most nominated black female songwriter. Isn't that something? Good for her.
Mm-hmm. That's something.
She
good
was
for
only
her.
Nominated twice. She was only nominated twice, but she's the most nominated black female songwriter. All right, now. So, let me see. We didn't get anything in Best Picture. Best Short Film, nothing. Best Sound Mixing, Willie D. Burton, and then Russell Williams won for Willie D. Burton won for the movie Bird. So that's Charlie Bird. Then Russell Williams won for Glory and Dances with Wolves. And then Willie D. Burton again won for Dreamgirls in 2006.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Now, 2009, Joffrey Fletcher won Best Writing for Adapted Screenplay for Precious.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. And then... that's it. So check this out. In 1972, Suzanne DePass was nominated for Best Writing Original Screenplay, Lady Sings the Blues, and it did not win. Then Spike Lee was nominated in 1989 for Do the Right Thing. Of course, he didn't win. And then John Singleton was nominated Best Writing in 1991 for Boys in the Hood. Of course, that didn't win. And that's it. That's it. So who got a special award? Quincy Jones got a special award. He got the Jean Hersholt Humanitarian Award in 1995. Sidney Poitier got the Academy Honorary Award for his extraordinary performances and unique presence on the screen in 2002. And then in 2011, James Earl Jones got the Academy Honorary Award for Legacy of Consistent Excellence and Uncommon Versatility, and Oprah Winfrey got the Joan Hirschholt Humanitarian Award.
Oh, boy, that was fun. They were furious they gave her that. Remember last year? Oh, my God. Wasn't that in 2010 she got that award? They were furious.
2011. I guess it should have been 2010, huh? But no, it says 2011.
It was 11. I'm sorry. This is 12. Yeah. Okay, so then in that case, there's a good chance that Viola Davis could get it.
Because it's been so long.
If there's any shame in their faces.
Yeah, man. It's terrible.
It's like she deserves it for that film.
Yeah. So that's that. So we really don't have that many African American Oscar winners. I think we could count them. Count them, right? Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
You said
four.
Morgan Freeman. I didn't hear Morgan Freeman on that list at all.
No, he's not. Was he nominated? I don't even think he was nominated. He was not nominated. And he's like
and
the highest
paid.
Hold on a second. Was he nominated? Yes, he was nominated for Driving Miss Daisy.
Okay. What about Sam Jackson? I didn't hear you mention him at all. Not even once.
Sam Jackson was not nominated for Best Actor. Let's see if he was Best Actor in a leading Best Supporting Actor. Louis Gossett was nominated and won for Officer and a Gentleman.
Yes.
Morgan Freeman nominated again for Street Smart. Let's see. Sam Jackson was nominated for Pulp Fiction.
Okay. He didn't win, though.
No, Cuba Gooding won for Jerry Maguire.
Yeah. We mentioned that in the beginning.
Oh, we did. Okay. And Morgan Freeman won for Million Dollar Baby.
That's right. That's
right?
When Hilary Swank won Best Actress.
Yes. And Jimon Honsu, he was nominated. What's her name? My Fabulosity lady, what's her name?
Kimora Lee Simmons.
Her husband was nominated for Blood Diamond also. In 2006, he was nominated for Blood Diamond. The same year, Eddie Murphy was nominated for Dreamgirls.
Right, Amistad. Didn't he win for Amistad?
Did we just say he was nominated, but he didn't win, right?
Oh, okay.
I think. Wasn't that it? He was nominated
for
Amistad.
Blood Diamond.
Yeah, he was nominated for
Blood Diamond. We have a lot of not wins.
Yes, we have a lot of significant not wins. And I think the most significant non-win was Will Smith and Ali.
That was brutal. Brutal. I guess they felt like they made up for it with Ray because they couldn't deny Jamie Foxx. In my opinion, Jamie Foxx deserved both Oscars that year. He deserved the one for Ray, and he deserved the one for the film with Tom Cruise. I can't think of the name of it right now. But he deserved both. And he and Tom Cruise both deserved. Tom Cruise deserved.
What was it? Face, whatever that was called. And what's his name should have won, I think, Will Smith could have won in 2000. No, he was up against Forrest Whitaker for Last King of Scotland when he did Pursuit of Happiness.
Oh, that was tough.
Yeah, so that year they had Forrest Whitaker, Will Smith, and Forrest Whitaker and Will Smith. So, you know, and Forrest Whitaker won.
I'm sorry, my vote went to Forrest Whitaker. Because if Idi Amin saw that film, he was scared, like, oh, my God.
Yeah, he still scares me when I watch it. I was like, was he really Idi Amin? You know,
that's what I'm saying.
Like, wait a minute. He looked like him. He sounded like him. He was that man was Idi Amin.
I feel like it was switcheroo, and they just put Idi Amin in the film and didn't tell anybody.
I'm telling you. I was like, that's him, isn't it?
That was some like performance.
Yeah, that was crazy. So, but listen, how come, don't you think Dorothy Dandridge should have won Best Actress in 1954, though? Come on, seriously, for Carmen Jones?
Come on.
And then here's the other one. Here's the other one that they need to go back and correct. They need to go back. They need to do a time capsule and go back to 1972 and give Diana Ross that Oscar for Lady Sings the Blues. Stop playing. And they need to cut off the head, give it to Diana Ross, and give the bottom of it to Cicely Tyson for Sounder. Stop playing.
Oh, come on.
Right.
And Cicely Tyson never got an Oscar.
Never.
She should get one even if she didn't play a role. She's one of the best actresses to ever live.
Come on. And then they need to go
back.
She could
have got one for that movie that she played, Tyler Perry's movie,
Tyler Perry?
The Family. Yeah.
Madea's Happy Family. And then they need to go back and give Diane Carroll the NASA for 1974 Claudine. Come on.
Wow.
They got a lot of
explaining to do, Lucy.
I got one more. You know. They need to cancel the show tonight and turn back the time to 1993 and give Angela Bassett the award for What's Love Got to Do with It.
I was going to say that earlier, but I said I will say that best for last. Because
yeah.
You know good and well.
Come on.
They should have collected all of the Oscars that year for
and
best
gave them
anybody.
To her. And what's his name? Lawrence Fishburne. Come on now. He should have won the support. She should have gotten the best actress, and he should have gotten best actor in a supporting role that year for What's Love Got to Do with It. And what's her name? Angela Bassett. Okay, everybody's going to get mad at me on this one. But they should take Halle Berry and give it to Angela Bassett.
Heard everybody that was listening hang up.
Everybody hung up on me. But so, come on. That's like,
give what? Give Angela what?
Angela Bassett should have won for What's Love Got to Do with It in 1993.
Taking Halle Berry's award for giving it to who?
Angela Bassett.
Okay, we only have one Best Actress award in the world, so you got to let Halle keep it.
All right.
I'll take it from Jennifer Hudson, but that's Best Supporting. So let's see, who could give that up? The girl, Naomi Watts? The girl that played the Black Swan, her name is Naomi something or other. She won for Best Actress. I'm taking that one and giving it to Angela Bassett.
Okay, thank you.
Did you see the Black Swan?
Listen, I just asked Sean about that last night. I was like, what the Hezekiah?
What was that?
He said, well, she was in her head and she didn't really kill the lady. I was like, well, what was that blood coming out from under the closet? He's like, but she didn't do it. I'm like, well, how am I supposed to know what she did and what she didn't do? He said, you had to watch the whole thing and, like, really get in her head.
Well, I did. No, you didn't. You didn't have to watch the whole thing. Trust me. I watched the whole thing over and over. Both of us, Coco and I, we watched it over and over because when it was over, we looked at each other and we said, what? Rewind. We can't. Because we both can't be confused. We both can't be confused. So rewind. We're going to watch it again until we get it. You know, that torture yourself until we're going to watch it until we, Natalie Portman. We're taking Natalie Portman. And it's
right,
saying,
right, right,
it's
listen, I didn't get it. I'm sorry I didn't get it.
We took Natalie Portman's award away and we've given it to so many people. But now I'll rest with the fact that it's been taken away officially and given to, because we felt like tonight she should have given it to, I actually thought she should have gave it to Eddie Murphy, but it was a male-female, but Eddie Murphy should have definitely got it for Dreamgirls.
Yeah, he was on Dreamgirls.
Yeah, he definitely should have, definitely. And then we felt like she should have it should have been taken away and given it to Beyonce for Cadillac Records, because she did a phenomenal job with Etta James.
She wasn't even nominated, right?
No, they didn't even discuss it. She was like, there. And she was awesome in Etta James. Awesome. So we felt like, since everybody said, huh? When everybody that watched the Black Swan said, huh? What? Well, did she stab her? Well, was she bleeding? Or what? Well, what happened? Well, what was wrong? Why was her mother mad? And did her mother punch her?
But wait, did she? I thought she was gonna fly off the stage at the end of it when she started growing those wings. I mean, like, help me with that. What was that?
I can't help you.
It turned into a black swan on the stage, and it was like really growing out of her arms. And I was like, okay, do I need to call a psychiatrist or is?
Because by the time you got to the end. Oh, you know what I feel like we're doing? You know, did you ever watch, which I know you have, remember Two Snaps Up?
Oh, yes. They would have told that movie.
Why was it? I felt like the swan should have been set on fire. What was that?
It was crazy.
It was so bad. We got it out of the red box. You know, so we ended up spending like $6 watching the thing over.
It was horrible.
Because we felt like we just can't take it back, you know, especially since it was a dance film, so we were really invested. We went all for it. And by the end of it, we were like, shove that thing back in the box and bend it.
Return it to the store. It was broken when we bought it. It was broken when they made it.
So you watched it recently?
I just watched it the other night. And the only reason that I was really interested in watching it, well, first of all, it had such incredible press, right? Everybody said it was so fabulous. And then, okay, so here's why I thought it was going to be a really great movie. And don't laugh at me, okay? Do not laugh at me. Because Kobe Bryant quoted it, and he was calling his center, making an analogy between the Lakers center and the Black Swan. So I was like, oh, well, Kobe Bryant must have seen it. It must be a good movie. So I'm going to let me get into the Black Swan.
I watch anything Kobe Bryant watches. I totally get it.
Shut up.
I'm serious.
Oh, God. That was crazy. Okay, so the Academy Award for the Best Actress in a Leading Role in 1993 that Angela Bassett lost to, do you know who it was?
No, because I was too...
Emma Thompson.
Back. I can't.
Emma Thompson for Howard's End.
I don't even remember that film.
Who remembers that film? Howard Zinn. I've never seen it. I don't know what it was.
They don't even remember it. I don't believe they even watch those films. Okay, tonight they have me a little bit perturbed, too, because they have this film that's going to be the best film. I know for a fact it's going to be the best film. And it has no sound. So I'm like, I waited all my life to have a good stereo, you know, because we grew up. You're much younger, so you don't remember the times when the TV went off. You don't remember that. You don't remember
at around,
when.
At around 1 o'clock in the morning, when the sound would go all night long. Of course, I remember because Daddy was in front of the TV.
I'm trying to give you a break here, but I'm just saying. You don't remember
when.
I don't remember.
I wasn't even born yet.
You wasn't even born yet. When it was just a line in the seat, because you was constantly trying to adjust the dial so that there was a line at the top and a line in the middle, and then there was a line going across, and it was squiggly. And then sometimes you could barely hear it. Okay, I'm way too young to understand silent films, and I do get the artistry of it, but who cares?
Who cares?
When you have the cinematography that we have going on, okay, I love Transformers, so you know I'm a true Bot fan. So I want to see color. I want to see hear a booming sound like that fabulous sound we heard when we went to see Martin Luther King.
We went to see
Sam Jackson on stage.
Oh, yeah.
What was the name of the play? Mountaintop. So we went to see Mountaintop. Yeah, I love sound, and I love, you know, fireworks. I love fabulous cinematography, you know, Avatar. I want to see something. Don't give me black and white with, save that for Lifetime TV or something. Who really cares? I mean, you know, save that for the independent films. Save that for the independent films. And they're going to, I guarantee you they're going to make that best picture. They're so intrigued. Good film. Silent film. Absolutely no sound. So how do we know it's any good anyway? What are they saying? So it's an all inferred. But who cares?
Like, first of all.
Who's that?
Wait. I see we have somebody on the line that Preston, so I'm trying to see if it's our guest talent for tonight. Or who it is. So caller with 646 area code. You are on the line. Who are you and where are you calling from?
This is Adrian Felton. Hi, Kathleen.
Hey, Adrian, how are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Oh,
I've been
so
entertained
fine.
By you guys. I've been listening to you go bananas on these people. I actually wanted to chime in on the Black Swan issue. Because maybe I'm the only black person. I had to. It's killing me. Because maybe I'm one of the few black people that liked it. I actually think it's a fabulous movie. Maybe because I danced for years. I don't know. But if you think about
it. Oh, you're a ballerina?
I danced for some years. So I do understand what it meant. But that's not the reason. I sort of, if you need to understand it, do you guys remember when Oprah did Beloved? And remember there were scenes inside that film that, you know, you don't know whether it actually happened or not. There was some type of spirituality going on. Her past would come into it. With Black Swan, if you look at in that type of cinema where you are actually in the head of this person, and the reason why she turned into the swan is because she transformed herself, like her dance was so great, and that wasn't really happening, but she felt like, and she transformed herself into that. Now, the part about her stabbing herself, she really wasn't stabbed. What that meant was she was struggling with this timid person. Remember, in the movie, there was the good swan and the bad swan. She was a timid girl that her mom kept her sheltered so long. So what happened was you saw in the film, you saw the tangibility between her coming out of that little sheltered girl and becoming this woman, and the only way to be the Black Swan was transform herself. So when you saw her fighting herself and her turning into that person, that means that she was getting what her teacher was trying to get her to do. Like, listen, I knew that I was going to have no problem with you being the White Swan. It's the Black Swan that I have a problem, because there has to be a certain attitude. And it's when you dance, you have to possess like a certain attitude and a certain disposition to exude what that character you're dancing can do. So I understood it.
Did she have to die to be the Black Swan?
Huh?
In other words, for her to transform herself into the epitome of ballerina, to be the prima ballerina, she had to die to get to that point.
Right.
That's
she was killing the timid portion of her and allowing the bad person her to come out. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like not kill herself. Like, in other words, in her mind, she was fighting herself. She had become two people. You know what I mean? So she was killing off the timid part of her so that the bad part of her can actually portray that swan the way it should be.
So
you
that now
I mean?
The blood, the actual bleeding was just, it was just an
that
illusion.
That was in her mind, like she, it, right, in her head. Like, I use the other film, like Beloved, for instance. Remember in that film when she walked in the second room and it became a flame and all that stuff was going on in there? We don't know if it really was going on or not, right? But in the book, you know, those kind of things that your thoughts are personified. You know what I mean? That's what it was.
Right. So, okay, so now that now I remember, because I remembered what the significance was when Kobe Bryant was using the analogy for the Lakers center and saying what he had to do to transform himself, he needed to be like the Black Swan, remember?
He couldn't be this nice guy. He had to be this beast on the court. So
exactly.
I understood what he was saying, too. So
now,
that,
I understood that, but when I saw the movie, I'm like, what the heck? What?
You know why? Because you were watching. You were watching it in tangibles. You weren't watching it in a thought being personified. That's why there was some confusion.
Well, there's a lot of schizophrenia going on in there, in my opinion.
And that's why there was some confusion, because by that time
the thing with her mom, that was necessary because you can see why she could only dance the White Swan, because her mom treated her like a child.
Okay. All right. I'm good. I'm glad you called in because that cleared it up.
Too.
I still didn't think she deserved an Oscar, though. I don't care what anybody says. It was an Oscar-worthy performance, not versus Angela Davis. I mean, not Angela Davis. Angela Bassett.
I didn't see all the other movies, so I can't really say, but I'm sorry. I'm eating. Just to be honest with you, they've never been fair to people of color when it came to the Oscars. Oscars has always been very prejudiced, and so has the industry at large. Just to get off the Oscars for a second, speaking of industry, Will Smith has been a record breaker since he came out. Will Smith
exactly.
is the only actor, he's the only actor in Hollywood who has never did a doo-doo role. You know what I mean? Everything that he's done has been stellar. He's never had to crawl. He was the youngest producer. After one season, he produced Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So everything that he's done in the industry has been stellar. But if he was like, if Leonardo DiCaprio had that record, they would have blown it up. He would have been on every cover. You know what I mean? So
every cover, even though Leonardo has had, you know, some very powerful roles, because that Black Diamond role he played was dynamic. It was
incredible. He's an excellent actor, but he hasn't broken the Will Smith record.
Smith and Sam Jackson, because Sam Jackson is the most wealthy actor in the industry, and they don't even mention it.
Right. Well,
they don't
even mention it. But you know why. But there have been some pretty good roles out there that our people have played and we haven't gotten recognition for. Just like the year when Clint Eastwood won that sorry role for that Western flick, I was done. I don't think I ever watched an Oscar ever since then. I cut them off. I decided that I was no longer going to engage in this because I don't have the personality to endure that another year. I forgot what year it was, but he made some Western flick.
Yeah, it was awful.
And he won up against those people. I was done with them. I don't care if they was black or white, because that particular year, I decided to watch everything. You know what I mean? I did a lot of movie going. And when he won, I was done. And I don't think I've ever sat through an Oscar show ever. I don't even turn it on. I'm not even interested in it. I mean, I read about it the next day and see who won, but and it's hard. I come from industry, so that was a big leap for me. You know, I was in advertising for a long time. So, you know, I was like, all right, that's it.
What did you do? I didn't hear you.
Oh, I was in advertising for a while. I worked for Gray Advertising Creative. And I got to go to a lot of things. I got to see a lot of things. But I'm going to tell you, I cut them off after that.
Well, I can't give up. And now that we have Viola Davis and Kathleen, I forgot the other actress's name already. The Best Actress nominee.
Were you talking to me, Ronnie?
Yes, the Best Actress nominee, and I can't think of her name, in The Help. It's two. It's Viola Davis is the Best Actress, and the nominee, Best Actress nominee, is...
The one that takes five.
No,
the,
got it.
That her?
You wanted me to...
What's her name?
Okay. All right, love you. Glad you're in Santa Monica. I was talking to Sean. Hold on. You guys talk for a second. I'm talking to Sean. He's in California.
I do know what you're talking about. I don't know her name, but I do know her. I actually enjoyed that film very much.
And it's a controversial film as well, because a lot of African Americans hate the concept and the right.
That comes from I mean, that's a real deep film. I'm going to tell you, because if you look at, this is why we do have problems in our community, because we have a problem with servitude, because we come from a line of that with slavery, and domestic jobs were the only jobs that we can get back then, especially the women and some of the men back then, and it looks very subservient, you know, and that's why we have a problem with it. But at the same time, if you want to reverse it, it shows strength. Because not too many people could endure what we endured, having to raise someone else's children, clean someone else's house, and then come home and do the same thing for our own children. And I look at it as a reminder of who we are and of an inspiration of where we've come, which means we can go even greater. And I think that too plays a part in us not unifying and working together, because no one wants to be the servant or be subservient, but... So my Christian folks, they better know that Jesus was a servant. So I try to use that movie as a teaching tool so people can kind of turn around and reformulate the message that comes from that movie, you know?
Exactly. That's an excellent, excellent. Oh, I'm giving you an applause for that. I didn't hear your name.
I'm coming. There we go.
You guys are crazy.
So you had to get that one. But think about it, though. The very first Best Actress Award, Best Supporting Actress, who did it go to?
Hattie McDaniel, right?
Hattie McDaniel. A servant.
Hattie McDaniel. For Mammy.
Yeah, but did you hear her acceptance speech? Did you guys, when you get a chance, go on YouTube and watch her acceptance speech? And when you listen to the role that she played, she sounded very... Stephen Fetcher-ish, but this was a learned woman. This was a woman.
Was it 1934?
Yeah, she was a learned woman.
Probably coached her to do that. Like they coached.
I'm going to make a difference. They didn't coach her to do anything. She wrote her own speeches, and I'm telling you this firsthand. She's a woman that had a college degree. She was an educated woman, but we couldn't get roles to show who she really was at that time, because, you know, Hollywood was even more prejudiced then than it is now. So all of our roles were like those Buckeye Chuck, Stephen Fetchett roles. You know what I mean? They weren't the roles that would show who we are. You know, even in the
80s. They coached her to the role, not to do the speech. I thought they coached her to do the role because she was a learned woman. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we meant. Not to do the speech.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant that speech.
No.
You know, in the 80s when the Cosby Show came out, even in television, and we're talking the 80s, Norman Lear, the creator of All in the Family and those other shows, he got on the Arsenio Hall show with the guy who played Michael and actually said that the Cosby Show was not realistic, and that he and the guy he used to, that was, I forgot the guy's real name, he played Michael Meathead or whatever, he said, "What do you mean?" He was like, "Come on, it's not black people live like," and it caused a big stir. And when I did the research on Norman Lear grew up in the Archie Bunker home, so even though he may have progressed some, in his mind he was raised to think ignorant like Archie Bunker was in that character that he created. So for us, it's important the roles we take when our actors and actresses do these interviews, that they say why they took that role and what does that mean, and how we project ourselves. Because cinema, TV, it's like a sounding board for people who are not around us, who think that we're all like the Good Time folks. Because I couldn't watch Good Times growing up as a child. My father hated the show. I hear people talking about it, and when I watched it, I was always at someone else's house. So my father was like, "We don't live like that." You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I'm a social issue person.
Right.
I'm lost.
Right.
You lost me there. Your father said you didn't live like what?
Like Good
Time. Yeah, my father would not allow. When I watched Good Time, I was always at a friend's house, a cousin's house, maybe spending the night. You know what I mean? We didn't watch Good Times in our home. Like, my father was very upset about it. When there was one scene where they said, "What's for dinner?" And they said, "Meat surprise." And they said, "Well,
oh,
what's
yeah.
that?" Open a pot and it's a piece of meat, and you say surprise. My father was turned off.
I bet.
He was, not,
yeah.
he was done with it. He was like, "Listen, we didn't want, we couldn't learn." I mean,
no.
When he wasn't home, my mom would let us, but he didn't really go for that. I mean, I grew up, I don't have the stories. I've been blessed the way that I've grown up. I grew up in Parkville, Brooklyn. My family owned a beautiful brownstone. My mom was a psych for the state, and my father was an architect, so we didn't live like that, and my father didn't mind us watching, but he was more concerned with when we are outside of our world and people interact with us, they clump us together with that. And when the Cosby Show came out, that's an image that some of us do live by, you know what I mean? And, but at that time, that's all we can get. That's where I'm getting.
Well, I think more of us live a normal life than people give African Americans credit for.
Right.
And that is overshadowed by some of the other behavior that is more popular to, you know, to portray.
The stereotype.
Yeah,
it's more popular to the stereotype.
It's more dramatic. It's more intriguing, you know.
It's crazy.
Oh, well,
that's on us, though, a lot of times, you know. That's
yeah.
on us. We'll hear them say stuff, and we'll be in a position where we can speak to these issues, but we won't. So, you know, hey, ladies, I'm gonna have to go now. People are looking at me like I'm crazy, but I had to get on your show, Kathleen. I love you to death. I love what you're doing, and I need to talk to you offline. I got something, a project for you, and I hope you say yes.
Okay, call me. You want to call me tonight?
Yeah, I'll call you at probably 10.
Yeah,
it's too late.
No, call me late.
Okay, great.
Call me whenever you're ready. Okay, I'll be here. All right, thanks, Adrian.
Talk to you later. Nice speaking with you.
Nice talking to you, too. And for that, a phenomenal program you did for the Southeast Queens County Young Democrats annual anniversary dinner. It was phenomenal. You had an incredible turnout. It was awesome.
Thanks. For you
and
listeners, she was our honoree. She got our Maya Angelou Award, Kathleen. She was our honoree, and her speech was crazy. She got a standing ovation. She turned the place out, and we are humbled that you accepted our honor, and we hope that, guys, you come out and get an education and join us. We're an organization that actually are the constituents organization. We teach government policy, civic responsibility, and we don't just talk the talk, we walk the walk. So when there's a problem here, we address it and we get results. So
I am excited about that. So great. Yeah, count me in. I'm in.
Okay, great. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Adrian. incredible activist in the community. She does just like great work. So I would like to, Ronnie, we have our guest is here. She was detained a little bit, but she's here with us tonight. And I just want to, before we bring her in, an incredible lady, Nicole Brown, she's here with us this evening. But before I bring her in, just to wrap up a little bit with the Academy Awards, Love of Spoken Word is in the chat room. And he mentioned some significant things that I wanted to just read in to the show real quick. So with regards to the movie Help, he says that movie was our history, and there are still those that work in the industry. What kills me with black folks is they would accept hood movies as being black culture, but when a movie like The Help comes out, we complain about it. Stop it, he says.
Hey, that's great. Hey, absolutely. I agree.
Huh?
I agree.
Yeah. And then he said, let's see, Norman Lear was the creator of Good Times, which was a spinoff of Maud. Do you remember Maud? You remember the show Maud?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, I don't remember.
You don't?
That was before my
Oh, okay. Maud, isn't that Candace Bergen?
Huh?
Candace Bergen?
Was that Candace Bergen? Why do I think Maud was the lady from Golden Girls?
Because she was. I believe she was. I think
right?
She
wasn't
was.
She Maud?
Yeah. I just can't remember her, her.
Right. That was around the time with Soap, right? Remember Soap?
Yeah.
That
no.
crazy show?
I don't remember Soap, but I remember Maud. And that was a lady from the Golden Girls. What was her name?
The author.
Hey, Nicole.
Oh, I didn't know y'all could hear me. I thought I was on mute or silent. I'm sorry.
Well, you're right. The author. That's right.
That was Maud.
But Candace Bergman, she did that other crazy show. It was like a takeoff of the Mary Tyler Moore show. Remember?
Something Brown.
Murphy Brown.
Nicole, we're going to have to put you on a game show, girl.
Listen, I was born and raised on the television. That was my baby show.
Love of Spoken Word said Soap was around All in the Family time. Oh, that's right. So anyway, let's welcome to the show Nicole Brown. And Nicole, we're gonna have to have you back on again because we're running out of time already. But I want to welcome
yes.
you. Thank
yes.
you so much for being here. We're gonna give you an intro. Well, I'm trying to find my applause. Nicole Brown does like everything. She is a trainer. She is a phenomenal mom. She is homeschooling her son. She is a womb healer, is that correct?
Yes.
A womb and wellness warrior. She is a volunteer as a leadership coach for a company that leads the industry in training and development, and I've taken some class there, and it's an incredible organization. She's also the communications chairperson for a nonprofit organization called Guy Name Empowerment Project. Did I say that properly?
GMA.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
EMA and the developing and develop and they are developing the framework and she's developing the framework for womb wellness education and cultural centers around the world. And Ms. Brown loves to travel, write, communicate, and bring laughter to others. And she was raised on TV. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Ms. Nicole Brown. It is awesome to have you here with us tonight. And you know what? There's so much that we need to talk to you about. So, of course, we have to have you back, you know, and I'm sorry that you were delayed. But, you know, so
can
much
I jump
of
in,
what,
Kathleen?
Jump in, absolutely.
Okay, so I just want to say, amongst all the things that you said about me, thank you so much, but the big thing is that I am late, sister.
What?
And I want to acknowledge that being late just doesn't work for the kind of work that you were doing in this world with your radio program.
Understand, receive you, and you know everything is everything, and we really did fill the time. Trust me.
Yes, I heard.
We were all over this Academy Awards because you know Ronnie really is Miss Academy, you know, and she could probably tell us everything about the Academy Awards, and she will tell us everything about the Academy Awards next week. Did you go to the Academy Awards, Ronnie, when we lived in L.A.?
I didn't make it to the Academy Awards. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't make it to the Academy Awards, and I always, that was my goal, to get to the Academy Awards. I'd gone to all the other award shows, but I didn't get to the Academy Awards show yet. I have not made it yet.
Okay.
I'm not it out. I am determined to make it to the Academy Awards. You know, I worked my way up from going to nothing to almost every award show there was, but that was it. Remember, we went to the Grammys together a couple times.
We're gonna have to do a special show on the Grammys when I tried to start. You know, when we got into all that, when I got into the trouble with the Leatherman. But that's another story for another day.
That's another show.
So Nicole. Listen, Nicole,
yes.
Welcome. Talk to us. We are not going to chastise you for being late, sweetheart. We are very happy that you are here. So talk to me about which one of the jobs that you do would you like us to venture into tonight? Because I'm excited about all of them, especially the latest one that you're starting.
Well, at this point, I'm going, oh, my God, where do I start, you know? I was sitting there reading it myself. I was like, sometimes you have to get present to what it is that you're actually doing in the world to even speak about it with any clarity and surety. I think the biggest piece for me is probably the new venture in terms of, like, my womb wellness
journey. I love it. You mean the one with the event planning?
Yeah, well, the event planning is a part. Oh, right. Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yes, that's the one that I am like.
Yes.
So
my business is called Quest Forward, and my business partner and I started an event planning company. And the market that we want to speak to is for people who have been given terminal diagnosis in their lives, that we wanted to create celebration of life events. For individuals like this. I recently had a doctor tell me that they found something in my breast, right? And I'm clear and positive and prayerful to know that when they do the mammogram that nothing will be there. But in the course of me having a conversation with my business partner, I began to laugh and be serious at the same time when I said, girl, you know if they tell me anything is wrong, I'm going to try to do everything on the planet that I've been talking about doing for the last 20 years. And what we begin to talk about is when people are given this diagnosis, terminal diagnosis, that all of a sudden life becomes urgent for them. And they now want to get on the court of life and do and have all of the events that they didn't do and have throughout the course of their lives. And we wanted to be the people to have and support individuals with this type of diagnosis to look at it and embrace it in such a way that it doesn't have to be sad and morbid, that, in fact, the whole entire family could benefit from having a celebration of life as opposed to waiting for that dreadful day and mourning them in their loss and in their absence.
And I love that. I mean, I just love it. And it made me think about that movie, and I mentioned this to you when we were talking the other day, that movie with 50 Cent, when he was a football player and diagnosed with leukemia. Nicole, do you remember the name of it? I know I sent it to you. I can't remember it right now.
Things Fall Apart.
Right, Fall Apart. And he was given, you know, first he got very sick, and he really thought he was going to recover and be able to play again. And then he was doing well. He couldn't play football again, but he had become an incredible car salesman. And then after a while, he got that diagnosis, and, you know, they told him, you know, very short time left to live, and you can't be at, well, I'm telling everybody the whole movie. So anyway, I won't tell you the whole movie, but ultimately what he did was he had an incredible event. And it was really inspiring to watch that, because he could have chosen to go into the hospital and be in there and sick and taking more medication and trying this and that and the other. And he's like, nah, man, you know, nah. And have some fun, you know, do what we have to do and have a good time. And I think that is an incredible idea. I really do. I love
Thank
the
you.
Concept. Yeah, I just love the concept. And what I was telling you also, Nicole, is that you will probably find, just because of that energy, that positive energy that you will bring to people, and this the happiness and the joy and the success, you will probably find that people will go into remission. Their prognosis
yes.
may change.
You know, and that's a big part. I'm so glad you said that, Kathleen, because what I said to my partner is that we want to really look at ourselves as, like, you know, like life saviors almost. Like, you could have your life be whatever you want your life to be, no matter how much time you think you have or don't have. You know, ultimately, we're all going to have to face that moment in time. It's just that no one's told us that tomorrow is the last day. But essentially, we're all just one breath away from, you know, not being here. And what would our lives be, or what could our lives be, if we embraced it as such, with empowerment and freedom? And love of ourselves and love of our loved ones. And so, yeah, like, I'm really excited. I'm nervous. You know, it's like, oh, my God, people are going to be like, what are you doing? Like, who does that, you know? But we really are looking at it as a way for people to take another view on how they see life and death.
I think it's really cool. I really do. As a matter of fact, there's a lady that I would love to connect you with.
Okay.
Who does trips and so forth. I don't know if she's on the line. Cassandra, if you're on the line, please press 1 so we can open it. She is a vacation therapist, and I think that would be an amazing connection. I told you about her, right? Did I tell you about her?
No. This is the first time. But listen, I'm writing it down. I'm putting her in the network.
Yes, she's a vacation therapist. And so she coordinates vacations for people and so forth, and, you know, trips anywhere around the world. And I think that would be an amazing connection for you. So I will be sure to, you know, connect you with Cassandra. She's usually here with us on Sunday nights, but I don't see her on the line right now. So that is really a lot of fun. So tell me a little bit also, just tell us a little bit about your background, Nicole. It's so diverse, and you do so much. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to be an entrepreneur.
Well, I've been in education and working with young people and women's educational programs all of my life. Like, I don't know anything else but women and children in some capacity. I used to be an educator, then I became a dean of a high school. I am a licensed principal. I just refuse to operate inside of it in the traditional sense. Like, you said earlier that I do homeschool my son, so I guess I run my own school, so to speak, with one student. I've been in education. I do a lot of training and coaching, you mentioned earlier, for this training and development company. And a lot of my life is about how do I support people in having the lives that they really love, and lives that make them feel free, adventurous, and happy. I tell all my friends, like, I live my life every day brand new. It gets created in the morning, and however the day turns out is divine design. But the whole process is for me to have fun and to, like, you know, have an adventure, you know, as I'm living it, because it's no fun if there's no adventure.
Which is really great. And you homeschool your son. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, he's it's funny because he actually requested that I do it when he was in the ninth grade. And at first, I had done it when he was in the third grade. And I went back to work, and so he had to go back into school. And he requested, "Mommy, can you homeschool me again?" And I was like, "No." I said, "You think that you're going to get over? You think it's going to be all easy, you know?" And he's like, "No, actually, I think that you were my best teacher." And so I was like, "Okay, I'm going to not let my head get really big about it, but I'll take it on." And that's what I've been doing ever since. So he gets to have a created life. You know, it's not the traditional education. And I'm also of a philosophy that there really is no, I mean, Kathleen, you know, you've raised a son already. You know that there is no guarantee on what they're going to do and how, who they're going to be when it's all said and done. You just put your best foot forward and pray that it all works out.
Absolutely. And it's working out great, which is wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah,
I'm really excited about him and about you and the homeschooling, because homeschooling is not a joke.
It is. Oh, please, tell me about it. Can try that at the high school level, and I'm going, okay, so this is where I begin to send him for other support. You know, like, is this the level of math that I start saying it's a little fuzzy and be free and comfortable enough in my own skills and ability to know what my limits are mathematically? Or with any other, I mean, all the other subjects, I tend to think that I, you know, have them mastered because I have reading and comprehension. But the math, I have to send them out, I'll send them out. You know, it's not a problem. You know, my thing is that he has a great teenage life as a part of the experience.
Yes, yeah, that is incredible. So, you know what, wait, hold the phone.
Thank you.
Moms are around here kicking behind, okay? Homeschooling, doing bucket lists, event planning, and training, and talking, and you're an ordained minister too, right?
Yes, ma'am.
My goodness. Where are you from? Are you from the Caribbean?
I'm from New York. I'm from the Bronx, girl. My father is from North Carolina.
Oh, well, that's the Caribbean, isn't it?
North Carolina. No, that's not the Caribbean. That's funny. But no, I don't. It's funny. You know, it's. I'm one of those people that, you know, if I think about it, I it's like, go try it. You know, it'll either work for you or it won't. But you won't know if you never put your foot in the water. You know.
Yes. Right. I think we have a question. We have a caller, 347 area number ends in 217. Welcome. Please tell us your name, where you're calling from, and who's breathing in the phone. We got an obscene.
Hi. Good evening, Kathleen. Hi, Nikki.
Hey, evening.
Hi. I'm calling you Nikki. I'm renaming you. God, I'm like denominous in people's name here. Good evening. I'm joining the call, and I just heard that I joined in the call when you were talking about the creating event planning with celebration of life parties. And I had a celebration of life party about 3 years ago.
Cancer. Was so much fun.
Yeah, about 3 years ago. And I was on a train, and I was like, well, what do I want to do? Like, you know, what are you going to do? I was like talking to myself on the train. And I was okay, we'll have a celebration of life party like next year.
Well, Nico, tell everybody why you had it.
I had uterine cancer, and I was having really bad periods and really bad pain, and I didn't know what was going on. So I ended up changing doctors because all the doctor was saying, well, are you taking your iron pills? And I was like, what the cranberry sauce? Did that have to do with anything about why I'm in pain? So I eventually changed doctors. They went in. They did a DNC. They dilated my cervix, and they took a biopsy. I went in like 2 weeks later, and she was like, oh, it's uterine cancer. And she asked me, did I want to speak to anybody? I was like, no, I'm fine, because I think I was just relieved that I knew what was going on, because I knew something was wrong with my body. So They did a total hysterectomy, and I feel so much better. But I really thought that I was the only person that ever did that, because I got like a uterus cake with the fallopian tubes and the vagina and the uterus and the cervix and the eggs and everything.
And everybody thought it was so funny.
Like,
look at uterine cake, and we're like, are we supposed to eat this?
So I had a regular cake that everybody ate, and then I had the uterus cake. I don't think I ever ate any of it either. I think I threw it out like a year later. But it was just the point of just having it. And I thought I was the only person that ever did that. So when he was talking about the Celebration of Life party, I was like, wow, so other people do that too? So now I don't feel so different.
No, you're not different at all. And you know what we begin to talk about, like, as we begin to share the idea with people and start to put things in place and start to connect with the contractors that we feel are going to have our business be successful, not one person has come to us and said, what the hell are you guys doing? Every last person that we've shared it with is like, oh, my God, that is awesome. Because it really is an opportunity for us to, you know, everything gets created inside of how we communicate. And so somebody told us that we should be sad about the, quote, unquote, my life is ending moment, right? But what if we shifted that and took on that it actually is not a sad event, you know, and that we could embrace it in a different way? Then we get to say how it's going to go for us.
And I mean, you know, that brings me to the thought about Whitney Houston's homegoing ceremony and just homegoing ceremonies, period, in the Black church, because
mm-hmm.
that is party, you know, but that's just the final, you know, that's the final homegoing. But now you are presenting the possibility for people to extend that moment and live that moment, which is, I think,
yes.
is just hot. I love it. I love it.
Like, live in that moment at that time. You know what I mean? Like, you get to, we have something that we say, give me my flowers while I live. You know, don't wait until I'm gone to be talking about bringing me some flowers. I can't smell them. You know, that kind of thing. And so this is a great opportunity for us to do that, you know, for families. And for people who are, you know, who have been given the diagnosis, you know, they get to say how they'd like to be celebrated.
So it's kind of like that bucket list, right? It's the, liken it to that or that movie? You saw that movie, right?
The bucket movie, list. With Morgan Freeman. I guess it is similar to that. I mean, but the bucket list is kind of like you have things on your sheet that you get to say, oh, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do before I go kind of thing. This is we're looking at this as more of an opportunity of families to come together in a way that they normally would not come together in the event of someone dying.
Right, right. Oh, yes. I see what you mean.
Right, so you bring, because, you know, funerals bring people out the woodworks, right? And the first thing we say is, oh, I'm so sorry we had to meet on such unfortunate terms. You know, we need to get together before somebody passes. Everybody says that. And this is an opportunity. It's almost like a family reunion. You get to get together before anything occurs, and then you get to establish these relationships and create, you know, familism, you know, in another way.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I think it's good. Bonnie, what do you think? Where's Bonnie? Bonnie, what are you doing? Are you watching the Academy Awards? Where you always disappear on me.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're
gonna go hang out. Did you say something to me?
What do you think of this idea?
I'm glad I wasn't there to eat the fallopian tube cake. I wish I had been invited to enjoy the party with the fallopian tube cake. Yeah.
What am I going to do with you?
I'm so glad that actually I'd been to a party like that, and a friend of mine married herself. And I think it's the same type of, don't you think? It's the same
type too.
She married herself.
It's the same type of celebration.
I've done parties like that before. Yeah, it's the same kind of thing. It's celebration of life.
No.
It's like,
No. I'm married. I'm supposed to marry myself now? What?
That is awesome.
Don't you say you're supposed to marry yourself, Kathleen?
Can't you at least get, like, what was that Ferris Bueller's day? Can I at least get a... No, never mind. Never mind. Forget it.
But it was it's a celebration of yourself. You know, you
Okay.
Right. In other words, it's not for you to go and say, oh, I'm so enamored with myself. I'm so fabulous. I'm so awesome that I'm good. But it's just like, okay, I'm happy with who I am and how I am right now. And even though I don't have a significant other, I'm a whole. I'm whole. I'm a whole person. And so she had a big event just for herself. It was amazing. So it sounded to me, when Nico said she had the big celebration, I thought that was so cool that she was able to just say, hey, I'm happy, I'm celebrating my life, and look, she's healthy and happy now.
Yes, very, and I'm so excited about that. But when Nico did it, she was, Nico, you're there, right? I mean, you did it because of the operation being over, and we knew you were clear once they did that operation. So it wasn't like we were going for terminal illness, but still, it's the same thing. You had that celebration of life, and I thought it was fabulous. It was so much fun too. We had a ball.
Yeah, because I was like really on the train. I'm like, okay, well, what do you want to do, Nico? I mean, like, what really are you going to do? Like, what's going on? This is like a serious surgery. You know, you can't have any children. That's out the door. So what do you want to do? I mean, like, are you going to celebrate or are you going to mope? So it's pretty much I had to tell myself, you know what, girl, get over it. Have a celebration of a life party a year after on the same date.
That's awesome.
It was really great.
And the pictures are on Facebook.
The picture of the cake is there?
Yes, it's on Facebook.
Okay, I have to see it.
I
will
go
see open to cake.
What'd you say, Nicole?
I said I'm going to have to go friend Nico so I can see the
yeah.
Everyone was laughing. My mom was laughing. She had everybody down in South Carolina laughing. They was like, your daughter's having what? What kind of cake is she having? So everybody just thought it was like so hilarious when I sent her the pictures.
I love it. How awesome is that?
The cake was good, though. It was. I didn't want to look at it.
Yeah, the cake was the bomb. Yeah, they tore it up.
I
had like...
But I didn't look at it. I was like, just cut it. Don't tell me what part this is.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me if this is the right fallopian tube or the left one.
Oh, look.
I didn't want to know. And I definitely didn't want to ovary.
Oh, they had both. They had both the ovaries had everything. Both ovaries, big white balls with the ovaries, had the fallopian tubes, the vagina, the cervix. Everything was there. And I
awesome.
Wanted some exotic cake maker that they make exotic cakes.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Okay, look.
Beautiful.
Guys, hear me laughing. I am selling out the people in the chat room, okay? Because they said they are still going off on how do you marry yourself. They're like, can you get a divorce?
Wow. Exactly. You know, who do you call? What attorney do you speak to when you're ready to get a divorce?
Right.
Okay.
Was there a cake? How many candles? Who gets the first piece of cake? After the party, do you have a date night? Can you look at yourself 24 hours before the big day?
Nicole, actually, I'm going to look you up, and I'm going to do a party like that. I love that.
Do you know, I'm going to have to admit that when I was told about the party...
What did you say, Ronnie?
I'm gonna
you
be
know,
honest.
Ronnie,
I had jokes for years. I honestly.
About the celebration of life party.
No, about the marrying yourself.
Oh, marrying yourself. Oh, okay. What were your jokes, Ronnie?
Oh, I couldn't believe she was marrying herself, and she did it, and she's still proud of it. But
I love it.
But is now married. to a famous
Did
actor.
Did you wear a ring on both hands or just one hand?
You know what, Kathy?
You know,
you are ridiculous.
Okay,
I totally, I think she just has one ring, but she's married to a famous actor now, and you know life is all good, and so we might all try it.
I'm very happy for her. I'm very happy.
It was very loony. Everybody was like, she is bugging, but you know she was the type of lady that everybody would expect that from anyway, because she was eccentric to a point, and she would do things like that, and you go, okay, well, that's her. You know, we understand. And but everybody went.
Is there a preacher?
But anyway, yeah, I don't know how many weddings she got, so don't ask.
Okay, wait. So when she married herself, okay, did she have to get a divorce before she married her?
Yeah.
That's from
I don't
the chair.
Think, I don't think it was that far.
No.
I think it was a symbol. It's a symbol of just
like
being happy,
yeah.
And
happy
with
yourself.
Yeah.
Happy
with
right?
yourself.
Right.
Like I had a friend who did that. Yeah, my friend had we did a bridal shower for her. And her whole thing was
really?
That she was marrying herself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. People, I mean, the whole idea is all about symbolism, but it's about being happy with yourself, that you don't have to be married or in this type of situation in order to find peace and happiness. So
exactly.
Women are like, it's like an independent celebration of what's important to you and what's valuable to you. And then I guess you kind of like set up the stage for when he does show up, you're already whole and complete. It's not like
it
rolling around.
It worked like a charm.
It did.
Well, I love that.
Somebody.
But I just have one question, though. Is it legal in the United States? Like, because that means you're marrying a woman, right?
Oh, God, here you go. Now you're opening up another can of worms.
I'm
Kathy.
A lawyer. What do you want from me? I had to ask.
It's a party.
It's a party. Not even a... No. You said your friend married herself.
And now do you have
I'm
to
a
pay
minister. Do
you go to the movies?
I don't think she filed any legal documents, so it's just,
oh.
It just goes down and, you know.
Okay.
I don't think it was a legal document. So I think it was
just
a symbolic gesture. We left. I'm not giving you a hard time, because if we laughed and laughed and laughed, we still do.
But
she was
it.
Very proud of her.
I think that was in L.A., though, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Where else would it be, right?
Well, it's too expensive to do that in New York. I'm sorry. If I'm marrying myself in New York, trust me. Oh, God.
Somebody will put you in they would be calling the people in the coach.
So what happens if she were to get cold feet?
You know what?
Who's going to hang up first?
I know, right?
Oh, God. Oh, my goodness. But I'm telling you, I'll tell you one thing, and Jerome sure brought this up. I sure would want the presents. You know what would happen? I'd have a heck of a registry. Jerome,
oh,
New York would have a registry, and I'm like, you know, that's right. I want a Bentley.
Oh, God.
What's on the list? A condo in L.A.? Girl, I would have a ball with that. But that's, I think it's fun. I think it's so creative. We'll do things like that, you know, to just make statements and make themselves happy and get themselves in the mood, you know, not in the mood, but just in the framework of, listen, I'm happy and I want everybody to know it. Because, you know, people do wreck you. They are hard on single people, you know. So,
very hard.
They're very hard on single people.
Very
they
hard.
They don't want to invite you anywhere, you know. So at least now you could go out with your married friends and say, well, you know, hey, I'm married.
Exactly. And
if
you don't like it,
I don't.
Yet. Remember,
sorry.
I remember when I was single and I would go to like really exclusive restaurants to have just a lovely dinner, because you can do that. And they would say, oh, are you? Would you like to sit at the bar and wait for your partner? No. And then I would say, no, I'd like the table. And they'd get to the table and they're like, oh, what time is your party coming? There is no other party. You're just here by yourself? And then they go. They would yell. So, of course, everybody would turn around. It
then
was
they
horrible.
Yell out. In Los Angeles, they start monitoring how much food you order.
Well, I was going to say, the next thing you're like, are you going to eat all that? You know, and it's like, yes, I'm all, and put it all on the table, every single bit of it. And what I don't eat, you better bring me boxes and I'm taking, you know, you had to get really, so it became a bit, it was a bit much. So I totally understand it. And I don't think, from living here, I see a totally different world and a total different mindset over here than over there. And it's going to take me a while to get used to it. You know, everybody here is so serious and, you know, so like, deep and introspective. And everybody there is airheaded, pretty airheaded. So all they really care about, I'm sorry, but all they really care about is how you look, how much you weigh, what are you driving, and how much money you have. That's all that really matters. It doesn't care, that's all the bottom line. I'm not saying every single person, but for the most part, that's the lifestyle there. So, you know, they just treat you like, you know, you get treated in that way. So if you don't have a partner and you're sitting by yourself, then you're an outcast. If you're over 30, you might as well just get ready to pack it in, especially
so
if you're
need
not.
So if you're over 30, you should just go ahead and have a celebration of life party because they figure you won't
exactly.
Dead anyway.
Marry yourself. And that's what you did. You better marry yourself because you delight in the chances you get married is slim to none. You can forget it. So.
Oh, my God.
And how much are you eating again? Remember that, Kathleen? We would go out to dinner and they would. How much are you going to eat? Are you going to eat that? Are you going to buy
that? Eat all that?
Yeah, they used to make us split our dinner. When we went to, Ronnie and I would go to the restaurant, and they're like, you're not going to have two of those. You need to split them. Remember, didn't that guy make us split
yeah.
the cornbread?
Yeah.
Is that what he did?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. And they weren't a thing.
This is serious. But anyway. We're supposed to be talking about Nicole's background and all this.
It all works. It all fits in, honey. This is about
I know it
does.
Too.
These parties.
It does.
Yeah.
I wanted to also comment on how dynamic she is and how proud I am of you schooling your son. That is awesome.
Thank you. I have to say, it is definitely one of those things that it doesn't look anything like anything I ever thought that I was creating, if that makes sense. But it's like everything in life. You know, you start off doing it one way. You think that it's going to look, you know, you have this vision of it. And it doesn't always come out that way. And you just learn to adapt to the flow. The most beautiful part about it is that I get to experience being with my teenager on a regular
Isn't
basis.
Isn't that great? He'll live, he'll for the rest of his life, he'll cherish that.
I sure hope so.
Oh, no, there's no doubt about it. It's awesome.
I'm really impressed. Listen, if Sean
too.
Was homeschooled, he'd be in special
ed. I know, I don't even want to talk about it.
He's
not a good place.
If he was homeschooled, either he'd be in special ed or I would.
Oh,
he said, what can you I'm like, what is this? I don't know what this. Look, call your father. Call somebody. The math.
Call somebody else.
There was,
right?
There was no way I couldn't help him with the math. I could not help him with the math. There was, you know, Nicole, what kind of math is this they're doing now? What is it?
I don't even know. Like, well, this is the last level that I could assist on.
Okay.
So I'm done. You know, this is like algebra / geometry. That's as far as I can go. Anything higher than that, we're sending him to get support because my buck stops there.
Did you have a curriculum for the school?
No, I created myself. I used to be in education, so
awesome.
I make it up. I use the guidelines that the state has, you know, as to
standards
that you should, yeah, that they cover and everything. But the process and how I do it and, you know, what comes first doesn't matter. I get to do it based on what works for him, and that is the most awesome part about it.
Which is really great. I know a lot of people who are homeschooling their kids, and the kids are really, they're really doing very well. And I'm very impressed with all the parents that do it. I think it's a great idea, too, because, you know, you really get to incorporate a lot that the kids don't necessarily get in school, and you have that curriculum that all the other kids are getting as well. You know that show that's on now, Read to Read, with, Read Between the Lines, right. And I don't know why I always call it Read to Read, but Malcolm Jamal Warner and Tracy Ellis Ross, they're married, and he is homeschooling the youngest daughter. So
yeah.
I thought that was very creative, too. I like the idea that they would do, they put that little twist in it. The older kids go to school. I don't know if it's public or private
school,
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
No, I was saying they go to regular school,
okay. And then the he homeschools the youngest daughter. And that's the first time I've ever seen a sitcom where a parent was homeschooling a child. But I thought that was a really creative twist. I was happy to see that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So tell us what else you are doing, Nicole. Tell us what else, what's coming up for you, and how can people get in touch with you? And when are you coming back?
Well, when do you want me back? Well, what's coming up next is really having, like I said, developing the event planning company to, like, shore it up. So it's like, okay, we have clients and people are telling people about us. The name of our company is called Quest Forward. Right now we're in the process of completing some of the legal portion of it. We have a lawyer on the line. And so in terms of having it, like, you know, LLC. So we're moving from sole proprietorship to LLC. We have, you know, we're working with a branding company. We actually leave tomorrow to go to San Francisco for a mastermind event, you know, to support us and guide us and have us, like, really take our business to the next level. And that's pretty much, like, that's the big thing that's going on right now, simply because it's, like, our little baby. And we literally woke up one day and we're like, We started off as a coaching company, and we were like, we're not really excited about that. And the thing that really lit us up was the planning of events, like my partner being, like, the one who creates the, you know, what it looks like, and then me being the person to, like, be on the court and actually producing and performing. And so that's how we got to this point. We were like, we were really lit up about it, and so that's what we're, you know, like, really serious about focusing on.
Oh, okay. That's great. That is great. Well, I'm excited for you. I'm looking forward to it. I want to connect you with Cassandra, and I want to applaud you for all the things that you are doing and the work that you do with the training company, you know, and being a single mom. Congratulations on winning the Solo Mommy Award a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
you're very
you.
Welcome. You're very welcome, and there is so much more to talk with you about because of the work you do with womb wellness, which is also very interesting. So I would love to have you come back at some point so we can talk about that. But we do have a question. There is a caller on the line from 917 area code. Your number ends in 37. Welcome to Ask Kathleen. Please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Cassandra. I heard my name mentioned.
Hey!
How you doing, everyone?
Hi, Cassandra.
This sounds exciting.
Cassandra, how are you? This is our resident vacation therapist, everyone. We've been talking about you for a while, Cassandra.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It sounds like I have a kindred spirit there.
Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
Buddy.
This is Nicole Nikki Brown, and she is the founder and CEO of Quest Forward, Nikki, tell her real quick about the theme of your company, and then I want you all to exchange information.
Yeah, so we're an event planning company, and I'm actually the co-founder because I do have a partner, business partner with me. Her name is Aquia Sotowa, and what we do, we said we wanted to focus on people who have been given terminal diagnosis, and we wanted to create what we call celebration of life events for them so that their family and friends can enjoy them while they're here. And also it would serve as a number of things could grow out of it, right, like mini family reunion or whatever, as opposed to waiting until they're gone on to a different place. And also it gives people an opportunity to embrace the process of passing on in a different way, right? It doesn't have to be all morbid and sad. It actually could be looked at as celebration.
Wonderful. I do know some people I'd like to connect you to as well.
Oh, yeah,
cool.
I thought you all would have.
We could definitely exchange numbers.
Yeah, and Cassandra, just give your information anyway, because our vacation therapist, everybody needs that phone number, everybody needs a vacation. So, Cassandra,
right.
Your email address is dreamgetawaysforyou@aol.
@aol, correct.
That's
the number for
Sorry.
dreamgetawaysforyou@aol.com. So that's the number four, the letter
four U. And the letter U. Okay,
yes.
Got it.
And my whole idea behind my business is that people need to realize the importance of vacations. They're not just something you do for leisure. And I heard an announcement on the radio last year about a group that was giving vacations to families who had someone that was terminal so that they could have that bonding, as you mentioned, the family reunion piece. You know, as people are thinking about sadness, they also need to think about the happiness and have happy
Absolutely.
Memories as well.
Absolutely.
See, look
Absolutely.
I knew you guys would be perfect for each other.
Yeah, thank you. thank you so much.
I'm going to email you, Cassandra, definitely.
Okay. And my number is 917-224-6537.
6537. Okay. And we're at Quest Forward, and we spell Quest differently, so it's Quest, four,
okay.
The number four, Ward, Ward, @gmail.com, and my number is 646-621-9353.
Say that again, 646.
621-9353.
Okay, I have it. Thank you.
All right. Wonderful. Well, thank you all for being here tonight. I appreciate your calling in. Cassandra, Nikki Brown, thank you so much for being our guest this evening. And Ronnie, we have 3 minutes left or something?
Huh?
Ronnie, chime in and let everybody know how they can find you if they need makeup or their hair done or any good stuff.
Oh, thank you. You can reach me at zglam, and Z, that's Z as in zebra, GLAM designs @AOL.com.
Awesome. And certainly if you are a mom and you have children, you can look out for my book. It's called Single Mother, the New Father. It is available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. So definitely we want you to check that out, and we'll be doing a whole lot of touring this year and more book signings and so forth. We just had a really successful book signing at David Levy, rocking you, at his restaurant last Friday. It was off the charts. It was so great. We had so much fun. So and those pictures are up on the Caribbean Fever Eyes website, and I'll be on David's show coming up soon, talking about the book signing, and I'll be there again for whomever wins the next book signing. I'll be the host for that, so I'll be sure to let everybody know about that. So stay tuned. Next week we'll be back with more fun stuff to talk about. Ronnie, I don't know what we'll be talking about next week, but certainly we'll
talk about the Oscars.
Yes, we'll be talking about
what they have to win.
and we'll talking about the Oscars. So everybody, thanks for being here tonight. I had fun. I hope you had fun. I had a ball.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Always.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you again, Kathleen.
Everybody have a
pleasure.
Have a blessed week, yes, ma'am. Have a blessed week.
Yeah, everybody have a blessed week. Have a fabulous week. And March is coming up. So when we see you again next time, we will be in March. So I'm looking forward to.
Yay!
Yeah, I'm looking forward to no snow. So, all right, everybody, have a great night. You're listening to Ask Kathleen. I am your host, Kathleen Williams. Tune in next week when we will have a whole lot more fun. So we'll see you next
week.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
So let's move.
Well, here we go. We're getting something underway.
Let's stretch in the grass.
Great play.
Let's play tag.
What a play.
Let's jump up and down.
Oh, what a way to finish it.
And most of all, let's eat better so that we have the energy we need to play an hour a day every day.
Everyone can play. Just go to letsmove.gov to learn more.
The 99th came eyeball to eyeball in air-to-air combat with the German Luftwaffe.
Bombers would be here, we'd be above the bombers, to provide sort of a net against the German planes coming down.
We said we'd better get a real name and identification so that the bombers and the Germans would know when we were on a mission. And it was decided jointly that we would paint the tails red, and we became known as the Red Tails.
When you buy a car, what are you really buying? A shiny coat of paint? A list of features? What about the strength of the steel, the integrity of its design, or how it responds in extreme situations? The deeper you look, the more you see the real differences, and the more you understand what it means to own a Mercedes-Benz. The C-Class, the engineering of Mercedes-Benz, starting at $33,600.
You're white. Start out with a bright future. Then, over time, they become dull and begin to lose their luster. Because washing in the bargain brand can leave dirt from the wash on your clothes, causing your whites to get dingy. New improved Tide Plus Bleach helps to remove the dirt in one wash to bring your whites back to bright. Turning whitish to wow. Tide Plus Bleach. Style is an option. Clean is not.
Applebee's 2 for 20 is back and fresher than ever.
So, Dave, you and the wife at separate tables now?
Honey, it's my 2 for 20 club night.
I think it's my 2 for 20 club night.
So grab your 2 for 20 club and savor inspired new favorites like tender chicken fettuccine carbonara and garden fresh bruschetta chicken. Or go for a classic like our 7-ounce half sirloin. That's one appetizer, two entrees, just $20.
Mom, Dad?
It's the freshest 2 for 20 yet, only at Applebee's. Now serving half-priced appetizers late night.